Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
And today we have an amazing guest live here at Shop Talk from the floor. And that is Michelle Cordeo Grant from Lively. I think I butchered your middle name. I'm so sorry.
You nailed it.
I did?
You nailed it.
Okay, cool. Good. I was like, I'm going to say this wrong.
And so fellow podcaster, we should say.
And fellow podcaster.
Michelle, introduce yourself to people that don't know
you. Hi, everyone. Michelle Cordeo Grant, founder and CEO of Lively, live from Shop Talk. It's buzzing here.
It is.
So happy to be here. And a rookie podcast host.
Tell us a little bit about your background and sort of what Lively is, and for those who may not know.
Sure, yeah. So I like to say that I grew up in retail. I worked for Federated with brands like Macy's and Bloomingdale's, VF Corporation, Nautica and Kipling, and then Victoria's Secret for the tenure of my career. I've always been enamored with the idea of brand and how it can really impact human emotion. The IP is the brand itself, and sometimes not even the product, like a polo shirt from Ralph Lauren, for example. So really taking something from concept to customer has always been my passion. But after 5 years at Victoria's Secret, I started to realize that that brand had such a cohesive story and impact. 100 languages around the world, you hear Victoria's Secret, you hear Angel Fantasy Push-Up. For me, it was, well, I want to create a brand that when you hear said word, you hear individuality, passion, and purpose. And so that's where the concept for Lively came from.
Oh, wow. So it's I would immaturely describe it as an intimates brand.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of de passe way of saying that?
Yeah, I think so. But for me, the way that I describe it is we're a community and a brand experience that inspires women to be passionate, purposeful, and confident. And we do so with products like your first layer, which is bras and undies, swimwear, active, and beauty.
It's almost like I set you up with the to say that. I love the new idea around what brand is that it used to be. It used to be around a piece, or it used to be around some, you know, a lifestyle, which is this, I interact with community in my lifestyle,
right?
But actually community is now first.
Yes.
Which is, I think, is such a differentiator, and a lot of what we've been talking about on the show recently is that community is what drives long-term engagement, community is what drives all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's the right way to engage as well. Like,
right.
You're not out to just make a sale, you're out to help a group of people and like, be a part of their lives and change them. So.
Right. We're humans, right?
Yeah.
So we're impacted by emotion and endorphins and connections, and that's what leaves a long-lasting impression.
It's awesome.
But do you think that there's, we were talking in the pre-show, in your space, I think there's more of an awareness now than ever that there are people are looking for options. And so how do you sort of carve out for yourself that you are an option that should be considered, like, what makes you different? What's your differentiators?
Sure. Yeah, I think first and foremost, the space is so vast, right? So the United States alone has $13 billion of revenue in this category in one country within this beautiful world. So first and foremost, I think there hasn't been enough options. I think there hasn't been enough choices or conversations, quite frankly. And now's the time where consumers are really opening their minds to choices. What is our differentiator? First and foremost, how people feel when they see and discover Lively from a community perspective. Secondly, though, what we do is we see most women have two rows of bras in their drawers. So it's the bras they wear every day, super basic and boring, wouldn't be caught dead on a first date or in a moment. And then the second row is for the moment, and it's beautiful and overdone, but so uncomfortable, they can't wait to get rid of it. And I always thought, well, why don't those two rows to come together? Why can't you have style and fashion, but ultimate comfort? Why are we embarrassed of our 7-day-a-week first layer? It shouldn't be that way. Additionally, women are all made uniquely different from one another. We're humans, we're snowflakes. So no 34B is alike, right? But women have always contoured their bodies and shoved them into these wired products where the product should actually conform to you. So 70% of our bras actually have no wires. We created something we call Leisure A. We have fun with the idea of being inspired by athleisure, swimwear, and the functionality of lingerie. Not the old school thing where you're putting on armor and you take it off the second you walk in the door.
Nice, that makes sense. It makes sense. In this day and age, it's amazing like that this category hasn't been transformed sooner.
Right?
So it's really cool that you saw this opportunity, saw the need, and were just able to step into it and find a place for this. So that's really cool. Now, I do think, and I think to Philip's point, like there are more choices coming on board. And you were an early, you know, adopter of this new model, and you really got out there and started something new, a new community, a new way of thinking about intimates. And so now that there's more players in the space, how are you kind of adjusting or has that changed how you've engaged with your customers at all?
You know, we started with community and grassroots and old school impact, and it's a lot of sweat equity and hustle in that, but it's paid off. So we now have over 65,000 ambassadors within the country that share and shout the Lively brand. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they're just running around and getting paid to share our brand. They actually don't get paid. It's a give and take. So they obviously share our brand for us in a very organic way, but we give back to them. We spend the time to understand what makes them tick. Are they interested in their first book that's launching? We're going to launch their book for them. Do they care about mental health awareness? We're going to have a mental health awareness fundraiser. Do they care about DIY calligraphy? Done. We'll have a class. So we spend the time to understand what makes them tick, and then that reassociates it back to the Lively ethos. The second thing I'll say is, this category has always inherently been a need category. Women only bought bras when they needed them. Didn't make sense to me. I have way more dresses, way more shoes than I'll ever need because I buy them when I want them. Why isn't bras seen as a want category? We wear them every day. And so that's something that we're trying to change and unlock. We're trying to get women to celebrate this category like shoes and dresses, not buy it one time a year. Our customers buy 4 to 5 times a year.
Wow, that's great. What are some of the strategies employed to help change that mindset?
Yeah, it's integrating fashion with comfort. So right now, our business is on fire with an emerald striped mesh bralette. Does anyone in the world need an emerald-colored striped mesh bralette? No. But women want one because it associates with what they're seeing in fashion and in style, and they now trust us and know it's going to be comfortable.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
How do you, so I assume you're selling direct to consumer online.
Definitely.
All right, what is your other, where else are you meeting customers?
Yeah, so we actually have a retail store on Lafayette Street in Soho, New York. We've always tinkered with and started to beta with physical retail from the get-go. We're actually opening more stores. I'm really passionate about the heart of the country, so we're looking at Chicago and Dallas. We're a company that started digitally native, but we definitely see ourselves both.
What's your, do you see a difference between your in-store customer and your online customer? Is she shopping and on both, or how do you encourage her to interact with you elsewhere outside of your retail location?
Sure. Yeah. There's when women are buying anything, I think in a physical atmosphere, there's just more confidence around the product because they're able to try it on. So the key differentiator that we see is they buy more. So they're buying, walking out with 7 to 9 bras and completely swapping out their drawers in the retail experience, where online, they're still testing and buying 2 to 3 to see if it works, leveraging free ship and returns. The other piece, we see a lot of mom-daughter shopping together within stores, which is really cool, right? So now they're experiencing something together. Again, going back to that shoe and dress shopping experience.
Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
That's so interesting. So I had an interview with another podcast property that I host called Merchant to Merchant a couple months ago. And we were at the Robert Graham store on Abbot Kinney in Venice Beach. And there was a brand there called Birdwell Board Shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And Birdwell's historic brand, been around, I don't know, seven or eight
long
decades.
Time.
A long time. And it's interesting because they're sort of well-known regionally. I'm from Palm Beach. I'd never heard of them. But they talked about this phenomenon of generational commerce or this generational inspiration of my grandfather wore Birdwells, my dad wore Birdwells, and you know, dad brings his son in and introduces him to this brand that, you know, is part of their family story. I would never have ever thought about that. That's not a story that you would necessarily tell about, I don't know, Macy's. I don't think of Macy's as a generational brand.
Right.
And maybe there's a story there that I'm just not aware of. But this is a, wow, that's fascinating. So how can you encourage that elsewhere? How can you encourage that online?
It's funny. You know, people ask us, you know, who is the customer that you acquire? And we say it's actually not a customer, it's a household, because being digitally native, millennials and Gen Zs will bring Lively into the house. But literally, male investors will call me and say, Michelle, I have three generations in my house all wearing Lively. How is this happening?
Wow.
And it's because it's a product that's created where it's age agnostic. It's focused on a mindset, right? And so everybody wants to feel comfortable and wear something beautiful, but we don't lean into extremes. You know, we're always making sure that it's accessible in all facets of the word. I'll give you a great example. Instagram gave us some amazing data on our audience, and they were like, Michelle, it's fascinating. Their favorite hashtags are like hashtag sunset, hashtag happy Mother's Day. They're very much optimistic and feel good, and that has always been the goal of our brand, to be that positive best friend in your back pocket. Hmm.
That's a unique, I think, line in this particular industry. Like, do you feel like that story is in contrast to some of the other storylines that are out there? And, you know, how has that, you know, impacted your connection with your customer?
Yeah. I think a lot of brands have very strong points of view, which I think is amazing, as do we. But we're never polarizing, because we want all opinions to be valid and accepted. It's the beauty of America. It's a democracy, right? And so we want to be accepting of all. And so I think that girls, women, mothers know they can come to Lively, share how they feel, share their ideas, and not have fear.
And that probably has to do with fit as well. I noticed on your site that you're focused on fit. Has that been a big part of your story?
Absolutely. So when we launched our company, I took my first investment from my manufacturer because we needed a multitude of sizes. We launched with 22 sizes. We're now up to 30, and we're going to expand even further through 44 triple D. It's not something you can do overnight. It's a journey, and it has to be done responsibly. So every year, more and more to come.
That's great. One other idea that I saw that was pretty interesting is you have some ancillary products as well.
Yes.
And did you introduce those as a start with your brand, or at the start with your brand, or did you build on what you're doing and start doing cross-selling?
Sure.
And get into some additional categories?
Yeah. Our website has always said the same thing for, it'll be 3 years in April. Today, bras and undies, tomorrow, the world. We created Lively so that today we can sell bras, tomorrow we can sell concert tickets. Who knows what our community's going to want? And so right out the gate, they started wearing our printed bralettes and bodysuits near the pool and on the beach. And we're like, please don't get in the water. That is not what it was made for. And they were like, please make swimwear. I'm like, all right, we'll do it. So we launched swimwear in 2017. They were working out in our bralettes. Again, not made for that. Made active wear for them. And then they would say to us, well, we want the idea of Lively 24 hours a day. How else can we get that? And one day I had, a rough moment at the office. I put my hands in my head in my hands, and I'm like, a scent. I asked the community, would you guys want a Lively fragrance? They're like, yes. And so we launched that last March.
Huh.
It's such a really interesting concept. If you're actually doing product development based on what your community needs, and you're listening to them more than you're even thinking about, like, what your brands. And I think that's an interesting dynamic in that, you had no expertise in fragrance before, and yet your community's asking for it, so you made sure that they got it.
I think that's
the way to build a brand today.
Yeah.
Is think more about your community and your customers than even your own story.
Yeah, and I would encourage entrepreneurs to do it before you even launch. So we would invite women into Airbnbs when we were building the brand, and they picked the images, they picked the words. Like, hey, 12 women that we're having wine and cheese with, do you like the word panties? Underwear or undies? They're like, panties, no. Like, I would never say that in public, in just a general conversation. Underwear, a little masculine. Undies, I'm super comfortable saying that to my daughter, my friend, the woman in the grocery store.
Hmm. Oh, that's so interesting. I love the how close you are to your customer. Like, people kill for that. That's it's such a hard thing to do. And I think one thing that comes through is just how authentic you are. Is that part of the... You said you're a podcaster sort of at the outset. Like, is that part of it? Is that that's your voice? You want your voice to come through in everything that Lively does? Or how do you sort of operationalize the authenticity that we get from Michelle? How do we get that into every other part of the organization?
Yeah, I think it's just not the authenticity of the voice of me. I think it's the voice of women coming together and the power that happens when you find commonality and similar mindsets with other women that are yearning to think and feel the way that you do. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, she started a company? I could probably start a company. Oh, wait, she loves art? I love art. Let's do a gallery together.
Hmm.
So my ultimate goal is actually to just foster a community where like-minded women come together and find commonalities from within and do cool things. So we've seen 7 companies launch since we launched, just from women getting together within the Lively community and finding that inspiration or network or just like that tick to take that first step.
How do you help them, go out? Are you involved in, helping them start these businesses and go after some of these connection points that they have?
Yeah. We're not formally involved, but we are always there to help. We do Founder Fridays where girls will come by my office, ask for advice, we'll connect them with what's the right marketing agency, what's the right way to think about investors, who should my first hire be? These are all questions that I had, and that's why we actually created the podcast. So it's not just my story, it's Rebecca Minkoff's, Leandra Medine's, Phoebe Robinson's, women that have taken what I call the YOLO step and made it happen.
Nice. Love it.
What's next? So what do you see as, we usually ask our people, what does the next 5 years look like? What are some of the challenges you're going to have to overcome to get to where you're trying to go?
Yeah, sure. Well, hey, we know all the statistics with startups, 5 years, 60% failure rate. And so we've been very focused on not just being strong in stable in 5 years, but 10 years when you have a 90% failure rate. So we're a brand that's built with no markdowns, no sales. We don't even message our price at the top of the funnel. We're very focused on retention and loyalty. So we're going to cruise by 5 years, and 5 years will incorporate building out retail, physical, but also leveraging the gift that we have, community, and involving technology to support that.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. We talked so much about this, and really what you're doing is, and we've kind of said this on the show, 2019 is the year of clienteling, and sort of like that's ultimately what you're doing. You're building out relationships with your customers that are going to last not just their lifetime, but the lifetime past them.
That's right.
And so I love this. Such good advice.
That's good advice. Somebody tweet that. That's really true. That's kind of the whole point. I don't think people focus enough on what the investments how much the investment that you make now in building trust will pay off in the future.
Yes.
And I think when you begin to diminish that, and you start to do some of the other things that that Michelle was talking about, that you don't see the effects of it right away. You see the effects of it 10 years from now, both on the positive and the negative. And you look at other people in your space, or tangentially big behemoths in your space that are now having some issues.
Massive store closures.
Right, and you look at that, and it seems apparent now. It may not have seemed so apparent 10 years ago when they got on this track.
Yeah.
What should we be asking you? What's the right way to, what are some things that you've learned that we can bring to our audience that they can learn from you?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for us as entrepreneurs is really understanding why we exist, setting those core values, and staying disciplined and focused upon them, because the world is so noisy and it's filled with so much opportunity. But as soon as you start to lose sight of why you initially created that organization, it spirals quickly.
Mm.
And so for me, it's staking. People constantly ask, why do you exist? What's next? Well, it's here to create a community. It's here to see women do cool things and change that quotient of 2% of VC funding going towards women, and changing that to double digits, because the more women don't participate, but they actually lead, the things that they're going to make are just so logical and innovative and cool. It's just going to drive the world to a better place.
That's a good way to end it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Cordero-Grant from Lively, founder and podcaster and all-around awesome person. Thank you for joining us on Future Commerce.
Thanks, fellas. Had a good time.
Appreciate it.